Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Lalisa Williams Show with my host and good friend, Terry Benjamin. Put your hands together, everyone, for Professor
Hello.
Terry Benjamin. Good morning,
Hello.
My brother. How
can you hear me?
You? I can.
Okay, good, good. Having some problem getting on this morning, you know? So how are you doing?
I am doing great.
Hey, let me restate this. How are you doing, Dr. Williams?
Doctor?
that's what I meant to say.
I tell you, I had gotten so confused with that whole doctor thing. So many people were starting to refer to me already as Dr. Williams that I was like, well, maybe I don't need to finish this thing up. Because people just began to refer to me, and then reality slapped me in the head like, oh, wait a minute. You still have some courses to take here, lady. And so I just thank God. And then I went online, mm-hmm. and I began to look up careers at the university. And I saw where requirements, typically, you know, to teach at a university at a certain level, you need your PhD. You need a PhD.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that there were many colleges that had posted these job opportunities, and they said that an ABD was okay.
Wow.
Or even if you were, you know, close to finishing your PhD. So I was like, wow, that ABD, because I had that one class left to take, and I was kind of lingering around with that thing. Like, you know, oh, what's an ABD? That's nothing much, because someone had told me about that. But I said, oh,
right.
that's really a thing. I was like, let me get on the ball and get that one last class done. But anyway, that's where that all started, and all of a sudden I got excited all over again. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, that's the thing, and I think a lot of times, you know, you have to speak things into existence, and I know that, you know, we all know that, for example, when a man asks a woman to marry him, they both know that this is going to happen. They both know that this is something that they want to be a reality. So when the man asks the woman to marry him, 9 times out of 10, she is not really surprised because she knows that this is coming. And when it comes, it's sweet. But you know what? It's almost anticlimactic because you know what? We knew this was coming, and now
wow.
It's here.
Awesome. Awesome. So I tell you, look, I'm excited. So, oh, man, this is great. So good morning and welcome those of you who are listening in the chat room or if you're on the phone or your iPads and your iPods, your MSS feeds and all the RSS feeds and all the other different ways that there are to get information today. It's, like, incredible. But we thank you for tuning in, for following the show, and our professor, Terry Benjamin here, author, writer, speaker, creator. He's doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things all over the country and around the world. And he has an international radio show that he does here every Tuesday. And his topic is Sexy at 60. Today he's going to be focusing on Born Again, taking that second chance. He asks the question, who is to say when it's over? Who's to say time has run out? So he's going to talk today and discuss how to get more out of your life to be the person you were meant to be. So I want you to sit back, tune in, get your pen and paper out, because you know he believes in giving you lots of knowledge and information that you can use to get to your next level. So, Terry, with that being said, let us have what you have to give us today.
Well, thank you. And I'm really excited about this particular topic because, really, it really describes my life now, the way that it is. I mean, I never thought that I would get another chance to do it all over again in the sense that I have more purpose, I have more life, I have more joy than I ever thought that I would have. I mean, sometimes when you get older, you keep on thinking that it's too late for me to do certain things, it's too late for me to change. But one of the things about life is the fact that it's all about change. That's one of the things I love about this particular program. Every Tuesday we get together, it is entitled Sexy at 60, but I can't talk about the same thing. I have to talk about something different. So basically what happens, every Tuesday this show is reinvented. This message is reinvented, but basically I'm moving more and more toward things that come from the Bible because in following the analysis, the Bible, as far as I can see, is the original word. And as far as it gets back to the original word, is really a beautiful thing, and it's a blessing. And no one can say that they don't know the Bible. We know the Bible from many different forms. Sometimes it's word of mouth. Someone will say something, and a lot of times they will paraphrase the Bible because they don't know which scripture to go to. But that's all good, too, because, again, it is inspired by the Bible. And so what happens is that we realize that the Bible is here. It's a book of instruction. It's a book of life, really, because, again, as we look into the Bible, as we read the Bible, we become transformed. And as we become transformed, we become a new person. And that new person is that person that is born again. That is that person who is taking the second chance. Everybody has the opportunity to do this, but we have to really, really want to do it. So I'd like to begin by just saying this again. It's the thought of being born again is amazing. It's really a cosmic do-over, a chance to reset the clock of our lives, another chance to get it right. In essence, it's time. It's time to really go to work. The Bible says the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So, again, basically all the the gift that God has given us is not for us to keep to ourselves, but is to share with the world. And I find for myself, the more I do in my God-blessed field, in my God-directed career, the more I have to give. And so, again, I think it is to work to be multiplied, and to be multiplied is to do better. And this said to me that man must work, but not just to gain more material things, but to fulfill his purpose here on earth. And his purpose is really to be about the Word of God. It involves the study of God's Word in its many forms, not just the Bible, but Bible-inspired literature. Like I've been talking about a couple of classes ago here on the radio about Dr. Miles Monroe and his great book, which is entitled Understanding the Purpose and Power of Men. And in that book, he has so many, many things. But again, the more I read, I see that he is definitely a man of God, and he is also a man of the Word, because on page 216, he says, and this is really interesting to me, he says that a real man, and we need examples of real men. He says here, a real man endeavors to learn, to live, and teach God's Word and principles. And I think a lot of times you can teach the Word and principle just by being that thing. Sometimes people say, well, there's something different about you. There's something special about you. But again, I think it's a reflection of what I'm taking in to my psyche. For example, it says here in the book on page 216, it says here in Genesis 2:15-17, God commanded the first man to keep his word, saying that if he disobeyed it, he would die. And in this act, he established the principle that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And Miles Monroe goes on to say that the real man is a man of principles. He realizes that his spirit must be nourished by the word of God, or his spiritual health will decline. God's word is the precept by which he lives. Because he is a responsible leader, he's also committed to teaching the scriptures to his family. A real man allows the word to transform his life. I like that. Transform his life so that he can represent God's will on earth. Thus spreading the garden of God's presence of world living in darkness of sin and separation from God. And he goes on to quote from Philippians 2:14-16. He says here, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in the crooked and deprived generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And so again, this real man is a man that is transformed, is a man that is born again. To me, this means that taking that second chance is really renewing your mind, changing your mind, being that new person, and really doing this thing to the point where you realize that every day is another opportunity to do it right. But not just be hearers of the word, which is good, but be doers of the word. And why? Because in the words of Joel Austin, he wants us to live our best life now. Now, I really like Joel Austin. I like the way he delivers the word, and I think a lot of people are attracted to that. And again, in his book, which is really a great book, is one of his many books inspired by the Bible, it's called Your Best Life Now, where he says there are seven steps of living out our full potential. And he says here, and I quote on page 306, he says here, raise your level of expectancy. It's our faith that activates the power of God. Let's quit limiting him with our small-minded thinking and start believing him for bigger and better things. Remember, if you obey God and are willing to trust him, you will have the best this life has to offer and more. Make a decision that from this day forward, you are going to be excited about life, excited about the life God has for you, if you will. And the seven things he talks about doing, number one, enlarge your vision. Number two, develop a healthy self-image. Number three, discover the power of your thoughts and words. Then it goes on to say, let go of the past. Again, stand strong against oppression and adversity. Live to give and choose to be happy. Again, number one, enlarge your vision. Number two, develop a healthy self-image. Number three, discover the power of your thoughts and words. Number four, let go of the past. Number five, stand strong against opposition and adversity. And number six, live to give. And number seven, choose to be happy. And he says here, God will take you places you never dreamed of. and you'll be living your best life now. And again, this is from Joel Osteen, but again, I think it really helps us to understand what we're trying to do in terms of being born again. And another quote from Joel Osteen, this is from a book called It's Your Time, and it says here on page 266, it's time to stretch. Just because something worked 5 years ago doesn't mean it will work today. We have to stay open to change. We can't get so set in our ways that we won't try anything new. This is why many people lack enthusiasm. There's no freshness in their lives. Every time an opportunity comes for change, for promotion, for increase, because they're not used to it, they shrink back. They don't realize that it's keeping them from climbing to the next level. And so, again, we really have to understand that we're here for a purpose, and our purpose is to grow in the image of God and Son Jesus Christ, and also to be that person that really inspires other people to be better. And again, I think this means to activate the true power of God and live the life we were meant to live, seeing ourselves as a new person, a person that has accepted the challenge of being born again. Again, to be born again is really to take that second chance, is to truly live the life to our highest self and to change and to be charged, to live a better life. And I just want to end with a quote from a new book entitled The Charge, and it's subtitled Activating the 10 Human Drives That Make You Feel Alive. And this is by Brendan Burchard, and it's called The Charge. And on page 90, it says here, everybody is looking for something, but he or she isn't sure what it is or where to look for it. The answers, as usual, are already within us. We simply have to understand ourselves better and activate the parts of us that make our lives rich, colorful, connected, and meaningful. And I truly believe that God wants us to live the best life that we can, to be excited about life, to understand that every day there's something that we can do. We can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And once we plug into that idea that we are here for a purpose, and our purpose is to live the best life according to God's plan for us, I think we will be transformed. And I know that we will be born again, because we'll see things in new ways. We will see with new eyes. We will move with new energy, and we will move with new purpose. And that's what I'm so excited about, the fact that I've been given another chance to live my life and to live it to the fullest. And every day I thank God for that. I thank people like you, Lisa, and people that I've met along my walk who have been more than encouraging to me. And I know that I'm not the same person that I was even a month ago, not to mention all the years that I have lived. So, again, I know that I'm not where I was before. I know that I'm not that same person. And I owe it all to the understanding that God is here to transform me. And if I accept his will, that I will be truly born again, and that I will have opportunity to live a life that I could never have imagined 5, 10, 20 years ago. And so I'm thankful, I'm humble, and I do believe that we are in a position where we can be born again, that we can do a do-over, that we can have a second chance.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And, you know, that is so true, that it is worth it. It is so worth it to recognize that we every single day, that here's another opportunity to get it right, to try again, to do something new, to touch someone else's life. Here's another opportunity to learn more about who we are. You know, like they say, your car breaks down, your chance for survival is to take the manufacturer, the person that created the car, if it was a Nissan or a Toyota or whatever.
Right.
So why not go back to our creator to find out more about who we are? You know, we may learn things through training and education and school and work and what have you, and our own families for that matter. But we're going to learn the real deal when we read the Word of God, because He's the one who created us. And then He spelled it out, regardless
right, right.
of what you believe. Guess what? It's still the truth.
Yeah.
Not about.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and understand that, you know, every day we're gonna live. We're going to change, you know, and we really have no choice about it. But I think we could change for the better, or we change for the worse. And I think we change for the worse when we stop growing. You know, when we stop making that choice to grow, and it is a choice, because you can get older, but you don't have to grow. You don't have to transform your mind. You can have the same mindset, and then I think life, like they were saying, that life becomes stale because it's monotonous. I think people sort of tune in and turn off when they don't see anything new. They don't see anything to look forward to. And I think, again, the Bible, from my reading of it, really helps understand that we should be in expectancy. If there's something new, there's something great around the corner. All we have to do is let it into our lives and transform our lives. A lot of people are afraid of the new, but again, sometimes the new has got to be better than what we have right now, but it's that fear that we might not be able to survive it. But I think, again, I know I've been through many trials and tribulations, and I've survived them only because of the grace of God, because of his favor, not because of anything I really did, but his favor. And that's what I live in. I live in his favor.
And so what would you say would be, you know, a couple of points that we could definitely, you know, pass on in addition to what you said? And for those of you, if you just tuned into the show, you're listening to Professor Terry Benjamin discuss the topic about being born again and how taking a second chance can really take your life to a whole new place, a place that you can't even imagine. But you're talking about how to be more, have more, do more. So to truly to be alive and having that spirit of expectation and happiness and joy, what couple of things should people begin to do other than having this, you know, reading the word, having this transformed mind and being open for change? I know you mentioned those things.
The biggest thing, I think, and number one, is to be in meditation. Because it was once said that when we meditate, we get to a point where we're open for more things. We're focusing not to just to clear our mind, but to let God in. Because I think, and I know when I meditate personally, that's when I really truly hear the voice of God. Because I'm not really distracted by anything other than something coming into my life that's going to transform my life. And I think that meditation is not just sitting in a corner, you know, looking at your toes, but I think it is really meditating on the word, on the word of God. And I think that's why people, it really makes me laugh when people tell me they don't like to read, okay? It's like saying you don't like to breathe, you know, because, again, reading not just something to do, but it really transforms your mind. And, again, as we get older, see, we have to understand that the mind is constantly being renewed. You know, once the more we read, we create more connections in the mind, and these connections are synapses that sort of power the neurons. And the neurons are things that help us to have a better mind. You can actually change your mind by the things that you read, the things you take in. But again, I think with God, the second point that I like to make is the fact that it is not just an intellectual exercise, okay? You really have to have faith, you know? Number one, you have to meditate, but number two, you have to have faith that everything will work out as he has planned it. And again, I don't know about you, but I'm very reluctant about having someone who is as human as I am to be in control of my life, because people are arbitrary. Right? People have their own agendas, but we know that from our reading of the Bible, that God has our best interests at heart because he created us. I mean, I know, like, as a father to a son. I mean, I love my son. There's nothing that I would do to hurt him. I mean, the thought of doing something to hurt him is beyond my comprehension. You know, the thought that I would do something or tell him something that would be wrong is beyond my comprehension. And really, my connection to my son is really just a microcosm of my connection to God. And what happens, I know if I want the best for my son, I know God wants even more for me. And so with the meditation, with the faith, and I think the third thing is the fact that we have to be around like-minded people. You know, it really makes me laugh when, you know, you try to have a Christian set of mind, and then you mix with people who are not Christian, and then you wonder why there's so much conflict. Well, there's so much conflict because you're going in two different directions, and it's that pushing and that pulling. And that's why, you know, Ayala Van Zandt like to say, you know what, we have to stay in our lane. And sometimes that lane is very straight, is very narrow, but is where we need to be, because anything else is going to be chaos. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be pulled and pushed in two different directions. I like to stay on one road and ride that highway where it's smooth and there's no potholes, as opposed to be pulled and pushed. And I think that's really what's wrong with a lot of people right now. I mean, they're being pulled and pushed in many different directions. And sometimes we said in the previous program that you have to learn how to say no. And sometimes you have to say no to yourself. What you want to do, which may not be in harmony with God's purpose for you. And I think the essence of being born again is really to say, you know what, I'm wrong, okay? I'm wrong, and I need to look at things in a different way. And if you say that, which I said to myself, you find things open for you in a different way. But again, you got to be in meditation, you have to be in faith, and you have to be in company with like-minded people.
And how important is that last point, being in the company of like-minded people, would you say?
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is that, you know, I think that's where we're fortified. I think that's where we're strengthened. You know, I know it's kind of hard for myself. I mean, I'm a creative person. I like to read. I like to write. And it's kind of hard for me to be around people who don't read and don't write and don't think, because what do we have to talk about? I mean, I'm a man, but I'm not a sports guy. You know, that's not what I want to talk about. That's not what moves me. So for me to be in that situation, well, I would probably come off as being very, very boring. But put me in a situation where people are creative and talk about ideas and are future-oriented and realizing that instruction is something that we do every day and that we can be born again, that we can have a second chance. These are things that excite me, and this brings for my enthusiasm. But you know what? I always like to say something my mother said. You know, she said, you know, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated.
Yes, yes, I love that. yes, wow. Yeah. Well,
I mean, I go some places, oh, Professor Benjamin, hey, man, great. I go to other places, who's that? Professor Benjamin, oh, okay. So what, you know? So I'd rather go to these places where I walk into the room, they give me applause. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to be invisible in terms of something else, you know? I mean, again, when we come together, man, in Christian love, man, we greet each other with hugs and kisses. I mean, I know that the churches I go to, man, the men hug. And, I mean, they give real hugs to other men. You know, they grab your hand, they pull you in for a hug. When this first happened to me, man, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know you like that.
Mm.
But I've gotten used to that. I, as a matter of fact, I look forward to it. Because I walk into the church, if I don't get it, man, what's wrong? What did I do, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But again, it is something that we learn when we see things in a different way, when we realize that, you know, men can be affected to one another. As a matter of fact, men can actually love each other, and there's nothing homosexual, there's nothing gay about it. It's just that, you know what, I love you, brother, because, you know, you are an example of the man that I want to be. And because you're an example of the man that I want to be, I can bring my children around you. I can bring my sons around you. I can bring my daughters around you. And know that they will be uplifted by the exchange, because I think that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to make people be uplifted. You know, we're not trying to make people be like we are, but you know what? It is, you know, Christian love is attractive, okay? Jim Rohn, one of my favorite philosophers, says that, you know what, we should strive to be an attractive person. And when he says attractive, he's not talking about just being cute or handsome or pretty. That's good, too. But he says, to be attractive persons, to be attracting things to you that you can use in your world. You're attracting that to you. You're attracting the things that will make your life and the life of your family better. So you're being that attractive person. And really, I know for myself that people look at me and say, there's something different about you. There's not nothing that I did, but what's going on inside of me is so special, it's so great that I can't help but reflect that. When I smile, you know, it's all the goodness that is coming out of me that I've discovered inside myself. It was always there, but I had to really dig deep into myself and it's that meditation and that faith and being around like-minded people to bring that out. And now it's out, and it's almost like a 100-watt bulb, you know. It's always shining. And now I'm saying that people have stopped me in the street, you know, and say, brother, you really look good in that suit, you know. And then that starts a conversation, you know.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I've seen that happen, and it happens. It's real. Go for it. Go for the light. Be the light. Let it shine through you. They will see God through you. That's
yes,
how people
they will.
See through others. And a lot of times that's what God is looking for. People that are willing to just be a vessel that he can work through us. It is he that worketh and doeth through us. And so we, like you said, we meditate. We be open so that God can pour into us all of his greatness. We have no greatness of our own, you know.
You understand that.
All right.
That's kidding at best. I mean, you know, I mean, that's what the newspapers, you know, you can be on the front page today.
Yes.
And then be in the back page tomorrow. As a matter of fact, you can be on the front page today and then be the back page, the obituary page where you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's why the whole thing was like trying to please men or trying to please mankind, it's futile because, you know, there's so many different fads and whatnot, but I know God is not a fad. I know that Jesus Christ is not a fad. I know that the Bible is not a fad.
I know that. That's right. Yes, he is forever from Alpha to Omega. He's beginning to the end, everlasting. He's continual. He's faithful. Faithful. He's so faithful. He waits a long time for us. Took some of us.
I know he waited a long time for me.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that he didn't give up on me, man.
He's waiting for others. And he's waiting for others. Some people that we think that this isn't happening in their life, well, God is waiting on them. So we just have to be patient with people.
Oh, we do.
Yes, because
patience is a virtue. Oh, that's so true.
Yeah, if God can wait on them. If God's not losing his mind because the person isn't saved yet. And
no,
if God
is... It's so funny, I was telling a friend of mine about babies, about how babies know how to walk. And, you know, they get up and they fall down. But they never stop getting up.
That's
right. Because they want to walk, you know. And I think we want to live. I think we want to live the best life that we possibly can. That's why we keep on trying.
Yep.
You know, we keep on trying because, you know, we see. I mean, the more I live, the more I see the good in the world. And I know it's worldwide, and that's why, you know, I tell my wife, you know, we're talking about, you know, what we wanted to do, you know, and I, you know, if we had a certain financial situation we were striving for. And I said, I want to travel more. I want to see more of the world. I said, the first thing I want to do, I want to visit your mother in London, England, where she lives, and then I want to go to Hawaii, and then just or from there. But the thing is that, you know, you have to understand that you have an opportunity to do all of that. You know, you can do. I mean, all that could be done, because again, all it takes is the opportunity to see that, you know what, the life that we have here is only a small fraction of what we have looked forward to.
Awesome. Well, we're out of time on
no.
that. No, it goes well. We're actually over.
Too fast.
We're over 30 minutes, but so we're still recording, though, so they give us like an extra 15 minutes. The only problem is they don't show you how close you are to that 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, so. I think we covered pretty good. I mean, I think the thing is that people understand that to be born again is just to really realize your real potential. I mean, it is no magic. I mean, you know, it's just that we have to be humble enough to accept the the road that we need to travel. That's all. And you got to be humble because, you know, we get so stubborn, we get so set in our ways that we think that if we change, we're going to fall apart. But you know what? To be born again is to die to a certain extent. And I put that "die" in quotations, to die to some bad habits, to die to some wrong thinking, to die to some bad associations, you know.
Well, you know,
dead, you know, we don't want to do those anymore.
Well, here's the thing. We have a conference coming up based on exactly what you're saying right there. It's entitled Dead Woman Walking.
Whoa, wow. That's powerful.
Yeah, because if we are walking in Christ, we then really, then our old man is dead.
Yes, yes.
We're still in this body. So we're still walking in this dead body, but yet we are also alive to God. But we have to die daily. Paul said we have to die daily.
Wow.
Yes, every day.
That's powerful. You know, you said, because I mean, to die daily is almost like we're saying about the show. I mean, every time I come on, you know, it's a new show, so it's the same, almost like the same package, but the contents are different.
Yes.
Because I'm a man, you're a woman, but I know I'm a different man today than I was yesterday.
Exactly. And he says we have to put to death our flesh every single day.
Wow.
Not like when we relate a death in the family, we know that person, we feel like they're gone forever. They're not going to get up out that grave or out that casket the next day.
Yeah.
But so we probably think that once we get saved and we die, you know, to the flesh, that's done. No, the flesh, we're in it every day. And so it's constantly, you know, raising back up with bad attitudes, bad thoughts, anything, and everything. So it's not like I can begin to name things because there's so many things that could go wrong every single day. And so
it's true, and I find that, you know, the more you're on the right road, the more obstacles that you have to overcome. Because, I mean, understand, you know, God is real, but the devil is real too, you know.
And here's the thing. The only difference with knowing who God is and who he is in us is that we now have the power to overcome every single obstacle. The word tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but we overcome them all. So that's the one of the big takeaways, is that we have the power, but we must exercise it, and we must learn about it, meditate on it, and all the things said here today, and that second chance at this new life that we're given, better to really enjoy what God has created, such as what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. They had an opportunity to enjoy him in the fullness. And then that was taken from us. But now it was restored through Jesus' death. We now have another opportunity to enjoy him in the fullness. And that's the beautiful thing. And to tell others that they can. That's why I work in the prisons and the halfway houses and the different places. Because I'm drawn to people who are not enjoying him in the fullest.
Yes, yes.
And I want to show them how it works. This is how
you... Well, that's a beautiful thing, because they need to see that, you know? They need to see it.
Yeah.
And once they see it, I think they... I know, I mean, they... That's why
and enjoy it too. Well, many
of course, yeah.
Now
they
know, because maybe no one ever told them.
Right.
Maybe they never... It wasn't broken down to them. So here... Someone can come and break it down and show them. You're living, as my mother used to tell me, you're living beneath your privilege.
Wow.
She used to say that almost when I became a teenager and began to act foolish, doing poorly in school and staying out and doing drugs and drinking and all this, cigarettes and lying and cussing and cheating and everything. She used to tell me every single day, you're living beneath your privilege.
Yes, yes. Yeah, but you know what? She didn't give up on you, though, right?
She never gave up, because here's the thing. When you are giving your child the word of God, you know, it doesn't even seem like work, really. Okay?
Yeah.
So she didn't have to do all that other stuff like some parents do, you know, cuss their children out. And
oh, no, please.
She never had to do that. All she had to do was give me the word.
Right,
and it was
right.
done. She didn't have to worry when I was out there in the streets and prostituting and all this stuff. She didn't have to worry. Whenever
yeah.
I did come home, she'd give me the word of God.
Wow. Wow.
And that's how I became to be so fond of the scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name will
yeah,
humbly
yeah.
pray. See, because she's always given me that scripture. And I became so fond of that scripture.
Right.
You know, that to realize.
There's so many things like that in the Bible. And it's so funny. I think what happens a lot of times, people may have heard this before, but they were not ready for it. And now they are.
Yes. That's right. Because God still has to do it. So on that note, we're going to go before we really go. So,
before you cut off.
It just cuts you off. It just goes boop. So we love you.
Again, I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay.
We thank
you.
And so we'll be
soon.
Yes, next week, 7 o'clock. But don't forget that the Lalisa Williams Show is on Monday through Friday, Tuesday and Thursday at 7 a.m., so mark your calendars. Do set your alarm clocks. If you want to get connected with this powerful show, it's going to help you become the success and enjoy the life that God has purposed for you. And then on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're here at 5 p.m. So set your clocks, set your alarm, and we want you to have an awesome day. Enjoy. Look at everything as fans.
Tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show, where we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa Jay Williams.